Well, as I was thinking of these texts this Sunday, the thing that came to mind was darkness. And we've all been in darkness at some point. And when we look at Paul's lesson, or the epistle lesson that Paul gives us, he's telling us once we left darkness, we might think that we will never be in it again, but it doesn't necessarily work that way. It's not unreasonable for us, I think, to look at the situation we're all in self-imposed isolation, in avoiding people's physical presence that don't live in our house, and say, well, this is pretty dark. And it is. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pretend that this is a good thing, because it isn't. It's good that we're self-isolating. It's good that we're keeping our distance from people, because that's our responsibility to make sure that other people aren't injured by our own inadvertence. No one is intentionally going to infect anyone with any virus, let alone this one. But all we can do is stay away. For introverts, this is something that we may have been studying for all of our lives, as a friend of mine said, but it's still not perfect even for us. There are real drawbacks. It's not that introverts don't like people. It's that we need to recharge by ourselves. We all know what happens if all you do is charge a rechargeable battery. If you never use it, it doesn't work anymore. It's bad for it. So we're looking at the same thing here. Even introverts who have enjoyed the first few days are starting to think, okay, this is just maybe a bit more than I signed up for. And it is just a bit more than we'd signed up for, in a very real sense. So what do we do? Well, we can do all kinds of things. We can complain. I don't recommend it. I don't think it'll do you a lot of good. We can pretend that it doesn't apply to us, which really isn't a good idea, because if you break any of these violations in Saskatchewan, it's a $2,000 fine and maybe even jail time. Instead, let's see if there's other directions we can go, and let's look to Scripture. I enjoy all these readings today. The gospel lesson is one of the funniest in the whole Bible, with this blind guy lecturing people and all the rest of it. But our Old Testament lesson, we begin with Samuel, who is completely in the dumps over Saul, who he thought was going to be the ultimate answer to the nation of Israel's issues and problems and all that they needed. But it turned out to be different. Saul wasn't the one they were looking for, and they needed somebody else. Samuel was in darkness, a self-imposed darkness, depression perhaps, all of those things that close in on us and make it harder for us to see the light of God, and for that matter, the light of day. And if all we do is live there and say this is all there is to life, then we will have created our own darkness, and it's very difficult to get out. When we're called to do something else, as Samuel was, we need to do it. God came to Samuel and said, look, I know you're grieved over Saul, but there are bigger things that need to happen. So I want you to come with me, and we're going to find the new king. For those of us who have spent any time in darkness, whether it's through depression or extended illness, chronic pain, for example, is a terrible thing that many people have to deal with. For those of us who are in all of those, it's good for us to go to the gospel lesson and remind us that whatever darkness is we are in doesn't necessarily come out of sin. We all want to know that. The Pharisees wanted to know why. Everybody wants to know why. Jesus' disciples wanted to know why. Why was this person born blind? What did he do? What terrible thing had he done? And Jesus said, there's no terrible thing. There's no sin involved. You're looking in the wrong place. And for those of us who struggle with darkness, there's sometimes that we direct to ourselves the sense that we have somehow done this to ourselves. We deserve it. I'm very pleased that so far I haven't seen a lot of people talking about the coronavirus as COVID-19 being God's judgment on some identifiable group, and I hope it stays that way. This isn't God's judgment. That's not how God works. That isn't what God does. Rather, God takes the experiences of the fallen world in which we live, the realities of the desperate nature of sin that caused all these problems in the first place, and says, look at what I'm going to do. I don't know what God is going to pull out of this virus. I don't know what good things are going to come from this self-isolation that people are in, but I've come across dozens and dozens and dozens of people who have talked about a new sense of who they are, a new sense of mindfulness, a new appreciation for what they do have. And I see good coming from it already. And that takes us, as much as anything, to our psalm, Psalm 23, a psalm we've been turning to for comfort in times of loss and grief ever since it was written. And what do we take from there? Well, we can take lots of things, but what I take over and over again every time I read it is that when we are in darkness, not if, but when we are in darkness, God is with us. We are never in the darkness alone. We are never left alone. Even when we are isolated in our own homes and all we have is the internet or a pet, hopefully we have people who are able to communicate with us some way. But even when we're there entirely by ourselves, if we are, we're not. Because a gracious God has said, I will be with you always. Even though you walk through the darkest valley possible, and this is a very dark valley for most of us, even though you're walking in that, you're not alone. Surely God's goodness and God's mercy will be with us all the days of our lives, even in isolation, even in lockdown. Friends of mine in California are now in this shelter in place, which means if you are on the street without a good reason, you are arrested. That's dark for us. We're not used to that here. We're not used to that kind of oversight. I hope it doesn't get that bad here, but if it does, we're still not alone. When we're in the darkness of disease, the darkness of our own internal worlds, the darkness of the injuries and sickness of our friends and family, when we're in the darkness of grief, we are not alone. We have each other, which we can see through the wonders of the internet. You know how hard I can be on the internet, but look what a great and glorious gift it is for me to be able to see you as I talk, and for us to be able to see each other and know that, yes, we are okay, because look at us, we look fine. We're with each other, and even more, God is with us through all of this, through all of the things that we will ever go through. When we're in darkness, no matter how alone we feel, God is with us. And that's the message that I'm taking from here. That's the message that I'm hoping we can all take to those other people that we're in contact with, probably through the internet, whether it's by email or text or this kind of thing, whatever it might be. We are not alone. That God is not judging us and has not abandoned us. God is with us every bit as much today as he was on our best day and will be on our worst day, because that's the God we serve. Amen.